The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now it's time for our ultimate guide, and as ever, our travel guide, Fionn Davenport, travel journalist and Lonely Planet author, joins us in studio. Fionn, we're going somewhere very interesting, yes, unusual and exotic today.
Yeah, we are. We're going to Spain's most unknown city. It's a place called Melilla, which is undoubtedly one of the strangest and most fascinating destinations in Europe, because it's not actually in Europe, because it's a Spanish city on the north coast of Africa. It's surrounded on all three sides by Morocco, and it's only 60 kilometres from the Algerian border.
So it's on the sea, it's on the Med, is
yes,
it?
Yeah.
But it's the northeast kind of...
Yes, of Morocco.
Of Morocco.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really honest. You told me about this a few weeks ago. You said you were going there. I'd never heard of it before.
Lots of people haven't. And including, I think I'd heard the name, but I wouldn't have been able to tell you anything other than the name. It's an autonomous city that was established as a fortress in 1497, and it's been held onto by Spain ever since. There's another place called Ceuta, which is even more remote again. But the fact that it's on the sea is really, really important, and the reason why I'm talking about it here today, because it has all of the attractions of a Mediterranean city, but none of the visitors of a Mediterranean
okay.
city. Okay.
Before we get to what it's like, how do you get there?
So from Ireland, you would go flying to Malaga, and then from Malaga, or you can get a ferry. But more likely you get Iberia regional airline takes
short
you there
hop.
And it's like, you know, 40 minutes in one of those small little propeller planes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's it. Now, I'll talk later on. That's kind of one of the blockers that Melilla has as an emerging tourism destination. It's the fact that it's a two-stopper, certainly for non-Spanish visitors. But it is a very, very beautiful place.
Okay, it's called the Four Culture City.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so due to its history and trading routes, so you've got two or four cultures all kind of merge into one. You've got the Christian culture of Spain, obviously, but you've also got the Muslim culture of North Africa, but also as well as you've a sizable Jewish population and strangely...
Sephardic Jews, I think.
Yes.
Am I pronouncing it right?
Sephardic Jews.
Yeah.
But also Jews that kind of went there as escaping, as they were escaping, you know, attacks and violence in Eastern Europe.
Persecution. Yeah.
So they migrated there in the 20th century. And then also as well as you've got, by dint of trade, you've got, I won't say it's a huge, but it is a notable Hindu population.
Wow.
So yeah, so these four cultures all coalesce to give Melilla its this unique identity, which I will say is largely dominated by the first three, and the Hindu side of it is just kind of a nice kind of ancillary.
You can go to a church,
yeah,
a mosque,
yes,
a
yes,
synagogue,
and then you can
a temple.
That's it. That's exactly right. And you can visit one. And in fact, there are a number of really, really beautiful mosques. There is a couple of very interesting and lovely synagogues. Obviously, there are churches. This is Spain, after all. And the Hindu temple, as I was talking to one of the more senior Hindus in the town, and he was saying to me, it's just that, you know, children, as they kind of leave and migrate and go live elsewhere, so the temple gets smaller and smaller with each passing year. But it's no less peaceful or no less lovely and meditative. And they do yoga classes and things
well,
like that.
Okay. You are quite taken by the architecture.
Yeah. So what Melilla is known for, other than being the city of four cultures, it's also a city with the second biggest collection of Modernista architecture. Now, Modernista is really Spanish Art Nouveau. So it's that from the 1910s, 1920s, and second only to Barcelona. So anyone who's been to Barcelona will recognize the style of architecture that Art Nouveau, and the chief architect is a guy called, I love this, Enrique Nieto. He's got Nieto times two.
So good they named him twice.
So good they named him twice. And so he then went and did a ton of work in Melilla and built all these Modernista buildings that are really, really beautiful and define the city centre itself, which, now Shane, Melilla is 84,000 people.
Yeah, not a big
it's
place.
It's not a big place. And so it's very, very compact, really, really beautiful just to wander around. Of course, you've got the weather, but it's not too hot. That's the other thing. I was asking somebody there, I was like, how hot does it get in summer? And he goes, maybe 31, 32 degrees, which given that you're thinking North Africa, you would imagine it go way north of 40. But because it's on the sea, it gets this lovely sea breeze that keeps everything nice and relatively calm or cool.
I'm just looking at some of the buildings here as you were talking, some of the modernista buildings.
Yes, so you see what I mean? I can see them right in front of you.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're
nice, aren't they?
They do look nice. They really look nice.
It's like mini Barcelona in some ways.
Are you very conscious of the history of the when you're there?
Yeah. So, I mean, part of it is that so the city was built with a fortress originally. So when the Spanish first went there in the end of the 15th century, they established a fortress. That fortress is still there. Interestingly enough, there is an Irish guy whose name now escapes me, and I'm going to beat myself up about this, but he was one of the wild geese that ended up escaping and then ended up being in the employ of the Spanish king, and he ended up fighting the local Berbers. So there's like a tribute to him and the fortress. Also as well, and the part that isn't really mentioned is that the fortress played a key, well, an ancillary role in the Spanish Civil War. The Spanish Civil War really began in Melilla because Francisco Franco was based in Spanish Morocco at the time. So the revolt against the government began there. And so the fortress was the first prison for female political prisoners ensuing from the Civil War. So it has that kind of history. And then there's the citadel. So the citadel is basically the old town, and it's surrounded by walls. And Shane, it's so beautiful and so atmospheric. And it's all these old buildings overlooking beautiful coves. And that's wonderful to walk around in. And it's got some really interesting museums that trace the history of Melilla right back to archaeological times. And it really is, in a very small and compact place, like rich in history, lots of local traditions, culture. And then some of the history is a little uncomfortable. I mentioned the Spanish Civil War. There's also the fact that, like, you're surrounded on all three sides by Morocco. So at times past, you know, different Moroccan, like, governments wanted, hey, hang on a second, we want this. So it is kind of like a frontier town. It's also, in more recent times, it was a very popular destination for migrants looking to move into Europe from Africa. Because, effectively, once you're in Melilla, you're in Europe.
You are.
So the city is surrounded by these very, very high kind of fences that make it all but impossible to get into.
Was Don Juan Sherlock, was he the Irishman?
That's the one!
Yeah.
Yes!
So he...
John Sherlock.
Yeah.
Or
Don
good.
Juan Sherlock.
Don Juan. Don Juan. I don't know about his romantic prowess, but certainly...
But he was a good soldier. He defended
yes.
the city against the Moroccans in
very, very good.
1774.
Yeah, and so what you have is that, like, what I loved about it, and my wife and I were there for maybe 4 or 5 days altogether. And so the modernista, just even wandering around, and then, you know, of an evening, as in that very traditional Andalusian style of people just going for the paseo, you know, the walk.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have this beautiful, long, long gardens that runs right through the middle. And Shane, it's gorgeous. There's a bull ring. And my wife was like, oh, I don't want to go to a bullfight, which I, of course, understand. But the bull ring itself is beautiful. It hosts one bullfight a year. But for the rest of the year, it's just this gorgeous building to go in and
wander around.
So
the food must be really interesting. Then,
yes.
Is it? Do you have that mix of Moroccan cuisine and Spanish?
So you get absolutely brilliant. Everything you'd expect from a good Andalusian kitchen, plus those Moroccan flavors. The tagine, the couscous is absolutely mouthwatering. And that's the thing I will say is that every meal I had was a memorable meal, and all different kinds. And it was just so, so good.
It sounds like you really loved it.
Yeah,
how long were you there for?
I was there for 4 nights, 5 days. I will say this, is that it's a destination. It's virtually unknown. We saw virtually no tourists there at all.
Which is kind of nice, isn't it?
And that's it. So if you're interested in going to experience the familiarity of Spain in a completely different environment, Melilla is a great one. The one thing I was saying, because it's a two-stopper, Iberian's regional airline has a monopoly. So it's going to cost you, from Malaga, it's about 250 quid return to get there.
Okay.
Which then you add your flights from Ireland to Malaga. That's a challenge. If you're a resident of Melilla, you get a heavily discounted rate, so it costs you very little to go back to the mainland, to fly to the European mainland. But other than that, if you're looking for a bit of adventure, lots of local history, and dare I say, Shane, some of the most beautiful beaches, like that Mediterranean beach, azure seas, just white sand and stony beaches combined. But really is, you want the benefits of a Mediterranean holiday without any of the crowds? Malia is terrific.
It sounds idyllic. I'd love to go out.
It really is. It's not the cheapest place to get to, but once you're there, it's very, very affordable. It has, the town, you like, the town has four hotels. And none of them, no five-star ultra lux. Like, we stayed in a really, really lovely four-star that was super comfortable, very friendly, great staff, but... in a weird way, it's just like, no, without the frills, it was just perfect and really priced very, very well.
Was it a little like, I mean, you're too young to answer this question, but was it a little bit like going to Spain in the 1960s, do you think?
Do you know what? That's a good point, that before all of the development of the Costa del Sol, perhaps, you know, because Franco in the 60s was so keen to turn that Mediterranean coastline into a tourism cash cow. And that's where, so pre that, yeah, I imagine it would be, because you are going to Andalusia effectively, but you have this enormous added flavor of that North African culture, cuisine, style, people's markets. And okay, it really was. It was lovely.
I want to go.
There you go.
Malia is the name of the autonomous city on the northeast coast of Morocco. Fionn Davenport, thank you so much. Really interesting. Fionn Davenport, travel journalist and Lonely Planet author there. We'll chat to you next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.